Troops from the Sudanese army have overtaken the disputed region of Abyei, where Khartoum and breakaway South Sudan both have strong ethnic ties, creating fears of a new humanitarian crisis. It comes only weeks before South Sudan plans to become an independent nation and has fueled talk of new fighting. Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir, who is wanted by the International Criminal Court for war crimes, has pledged to send his army into other disputed regions, such as the Blue Nile and southern Kordofa, before South Sudan becomes independent. The incursion of the Sudanese army into Abyei has forced up to 150,000 people to flee their homes. Princeton Lyman, the U.S. envoy for Sudan, condemned the military incursion as a very serious violation of the 2005 Compressive Peace Agreement. The interim government of South Sudan, run by the rebel Sudan People's Liberation Army, says it will not retaliate against the incursion of Abyei. Western human rights groups, citing satellite images, say Sudanese army troops are committing war crimes in Abyei, an oil-rich and ethnically divided region. Eliza Griswold of the New American Foundation warned that Khartoum has now begun to employ the same kind of scorched-earth tactics that we saw their forces use in Darfur. Since the Fukushima nuclear crisis took hold in Japan, critics of nuclear power have pointed to the catastrophic risk of earthquakes, tidal waves, and terrorist attacks. But a bigger threat to nuclear power plants may come from more common dangers like fire and eroding safety standards. According to the Center for Public Integrity, a fire breaks out at a U.S. nuclear power plant 10 times a year, and some of these incidents have endangered the plant's nuclear core. In the spring of 2010, the H.B. Robinson nuclear plant in Hartsville, South Carolina, had two fires break out in one day. It led to a 7-hour crisis that left half of the plant without adequate power or a reliable source of cooling water for its nuclear reactor. Despite the seriousness of the incident, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission only issued 2 minor violations to the operator. There is also growing concern among watchdog groups that the NRC will weaken its fire safety standards to a more industry-friendly formula based on risk of fire. In a review of NRC documents, the Center for Public Integrity found the agency lacked the basic data to create reliable fire safety models for nuclear plants. Upon taking office, President Obama imposed a moratorium on uranium mining near the Grand Canyon, and according to the Christian Science Monitor, this policy is now up for review. The White House can either extend the ban for 20 years or allow mining near the iconic national landmark. Advocates for the uranium mining industry, revived by rising uranium prices, are pushing for an end to the mining ban. They say critics are misinformed about the risk of uranium mining. There are currently over 8,000 mining claims in public lands bordering the Grand Canyon. National environmental groups and water supply managers from Las Vegas to Los Angeles oppose renewed mining as a threat to the integrity of the Colorado River. A draft report by the Federal Bureau of Land Management found renewed uranium mining activity would have little impact on the overall U.S. energy supply. Jane Danowitz of the Pew Environment Group blames the pressure to open up uranium mining near the Grand Canyon on the outdated 1872 mining law, which allows anyone who wants to mine and take minerals from U.S. soil to do it, no matter how much damage it does. There is also concern in Congress over growing foreign ownership of uranium mines. This week's news summary was compiled by Bob Nixon. For Between the Lines, I'm Liz Becker.